Good morning. Today is March the 13th.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Mr. Adair is alongside, live and in flesh,
good
so
morning.
To speak.
I'm here.
Yeah, I know. I think we both qualify on the flesh side.
I think so.
Maybe the bonus round, too.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
See. Thanks. Good. Oh, gee. You ready for your moment in the sunshine?
I'm excited for this.
It is kind of cool that it's sunny outside.
It is nice.
All right. Not that this is applicable for today.
All right.
Where did the word assassin come from?
Assassin. Well, I hope there are no assassins here in the studio.
No. And they would certainly not be highly paid. Here's a buck and a half. Take them out. Okay.
I'm sure it's a combination of words, right?
Oh, you mean I'm supposed to read this now before?
I don't know.
No.
You're going to have to tell me.
All right. Well, figure that part out anyway.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah. While mounting a jihad against the invading Christian crusaders in the 1300s, Hassan bin Sabah controlled his command of radical killers with a potion that gave them dreams of an eternity in a garden where young women pleased them to their heart's content. The potion was from hashish. And these young killers came to be known as hashish eaters, which in Arabic is hassashin, or as the crusaders pronounced it,
assassin.
Assassin.
Where are these potions available?
Yeah. 1300, baby. 1300.
Deep sleep sounds wonderful.
Yeah, does it, though? I mean, I basically flop over maybe 40 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, this morning was nice. Last week and a half, I'm actually like sleeping more than 2 hours at a time. You wait. It's coming. You're looking at me like, yeah, what are you talking about? Oh, boy. So, with the governor's proposed budget.
Sure.
With the county's machinations.
Yeah.
With budget effort.
We've got work to do.
You sound pumped, baby.
We've got work to do. We don't like hearing the word deficit at the state and county level at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of a sobering thing, isn't it? Is there enough flexibility, Scott, with all the different labor contracts, with directed funding, silo strings, whatever we want to call it? Earmarked, I think, is another one that's often used interchangeably. Is there enough wiggle room to make that stuff happen?
Yeah, I think so. We still have fund balances that are carrying us through. Our deficit as a county is a structural one in that currently our expenditures exceed the revenues that we're bringing in. But that doesn't mean that we don't have money in the bank. There is funding.
We're just putting
there.
It on the credit card,
there's
so to speak.
Funding there. We're borrowing against the savings account, if you will.
Which makes no sense because typically you don't have to pay interest and you don't lose a heck of a lot when you pull it out of the savings account.
Right.
You whip that baby on the credit card and now you've got double digits.
But we seem to be coming around the corner on some potentially massive opportunities for the county. And if those come through, that's going to create tax revenue for the county.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
And that's why we continue to operate and act as though we need to prepare for those opportunities, because we need to be positioned to take advantage of these revenues that may possibly come into the community.
But that's not the that's not where the deficit for the budget is coming from.
It's from expenditures.
Right, but directly associated with the North Spit? Or is this a little bit more widespread?
Well, if you look at it as at a community level, the municipalities are not doing as, I guess, poorly, if you will, as the county is presently. And so I don't think it's about wealth and prosperity in the community as much as it is how we're spending our money and really needing to look very closely and carefully at what our expenditures are, and do we need to make some changes?
So you're not using the P word, are you?
I'm not using the word.
Okay, I'll use it. Priorities. You know, and it's got to be tough for the electors. Now everybody's back, so it's the same cast of characters.
Sure.
That said, these are my priorities X number of years ago.
Yeah.
When times were different.
Right.
Okay. Now the circumstances have changed dramatically, might be an overstatement, but they certainly have changed.
Right.
Well, typically that means you got to do something a little different. Reprioritize. But then you have to admit or go back on what you said, what you did.
You want to reprioritize and pivot, if you will, to use another P word.
Okay, yeah.
Pivot, adapt, but you don't want to turn the lights off either. I look at the analogy of the two restaurants who are struggling. On one hand, you have the restaurant owner who decides, I'm going to close 3 days a week, shut off the lights, and lay off half my staff so we can make ends meet.
Save their way to prosperity.
Save their way to prosperity. The other restaurant operator doubles down, increases marketing, runs some specials.
Wait. What was the first thing?
But there is a real difference in the outcomes. You really do truly have to spend money to make money.
Well, it's an investment.
It's an investment, exactly.
Yeah, and I suspect that that's one of the challenges. Particularly, I know you kind of straddle the fence with your background between private and public.
Right.
Most of the folks in the public have not crossed that bridge.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And don't understand the concept of investment.
Right.
Don't understand the concept of long-term ROI. Things of that nature that are second nature.
Right.
I think for those with either the entrepreneurial spirit or just got to have it.
Right.
That's got to be a frustration trying to infuse that mindset into those that have never had it and may not even recognize the need for it.
Absolutely. Trying to bring that business sense, if you will, to a system which is built on bureaucracy, there can be challenges. But fortunately, it does seem as though the county as a whole, as an organization, I think its culture is changing, and I think it's beginning to understand that investing in its own community is an investment in itself.
KINS, news and information. You didn't think it'd take long to get to food with us. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Scott Adair. So it almost sounds like you're on the financial side, you're kind of cautiously optimistic about the future.
I am optimistic.
That's not a sensation that you get dribbling out of the courthouse these days.
It's really easy to say that the sky is falling and that because of that, this doom and gloom philosophy, if you will, we need to drive a certain narrative that we must take immediate action to solve the problem before we go off the cliff. And yes, we do need
if you're going
to,
65 yeah, and you see the cliff.
If you're going 65 and you see the cliff, we do need to be proactive and not reactive, and we do need to make changes. And our county administrative office, they're working diligently to trim where they can and resize the budget and reduce expenditures. But when I look at the opportunity that is just there on the horizon for Humboldt County, and I'm talking about all of the potential for outside investment into the community for development of new projects, some of these projects which will create hundreds if not thousands of jobs, there is real likelihood that if we play our cards right, we will buy our way in, if you will, into this investment, which will have a return and a yield, which is going to be beneficial to us and which will help to resolve and balance those budget issues.
How much of those projects, Scott, are influenced by external, not Humboldt County external, federal and international, the windmills? Great.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But how much of that is subsidized?
Right.
I mean, we can argue about the green energy and all that, and whether it's commercial or fiscally viable or not without subsidization to a significant extent.
Right.
But if there's a change in the administration,
right?
Whoops. Okay. Well, now we have different priorities.
Right.
And maybe this is part of it, and maybe it's not part of it.
It would take an act of Congress because it is part of that congressional infrastructure bill. And if the money is going to be spent, if Congress does not claw that bill back, then I want to make sure that the money is spent in Humboldt County. So if the if the federal government is moving in that direction anyway, you're absolutely right. What you're getting at, are we attached to, is our success essentially, are we riding the coattails of the federal government and the state government in many regards on this one for offshore wind, for aquaculture, some of the other massive developments that are happening here.
Both with major, major deficits.
Major, yeah, we absolutely are. But if they're going to continue cutting the checks, I want to make sure that the funding is coming here into Humboldt County, just as it has with the allocation to the port. Congressman Huffman came into town and awarded our harbor district, our port authority, over $400 million for infrastructure developments and upgrades because of their plans for projects like offshore wind.
Are those potential upgrades specific to that project? Or is it for the harbor? So whether it's flavor A, B, C, or
right,
D,
right,
it's something that's universal enough to be used in whoever or whatever shows up.
The impetus is because of the federal government's wind project, but once that new port facility is built, it can be used for an array of economic projects.
So it's not tailored just to that industry, just
right,
that
right.
site.
We would have the only marine terminal of that scale and operational capability in the entire northern part of the state. And so other
I thought you were going to say on the coast without customers.
But other needs
for
a port, we would be able to tap into those opportunities.
So as you look at things of that nature and then are looking at today's realities too, the cratering of the marijuana industry, you know, and I know that there are some that think that's going to come back. I
normalization
have been skeptical about it all along because we still haven't seen the federal legalization.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's a challenge now. Wait till it's federally legal. Yeah, and now it's a row crop. Okay, fine. So the boutique-y thing just isn't going to fly, I don't think. I may be wrong, but so far it's playing out the way that I've thought that it would go. You look at that or a couple of other industries in the area, are we broad enough in our economic base to do whatever it is that we need to do? I mean, you mentioned Huffman's office and his being able to get funding, government. We look at Humboldt going polytech, government. We see all these things, the national park, government.
Right.
Probably in the next little bit, medical, government. We don't have a lot of private sector stuff going around.
You're right. We need more diversification in our portfolio, and we need to add industries. The budget deficit that we started this conversation with, that was caused in part by a significant overdependence on the excise taxes, which were coming out of the cannabis industry and funding government activities. And because of the crash, if you will, or I actually think it's probably more closer to market normalization or stabilization of that industry. We now can't be so reliant on those tax revenues. We need diversification. We need other industries. And some of these other major federally funded or sponsored projects that we're talking about are industries that we don't have here at the, right now. But we need to invest in our current industries as well.
Well, sure. It's not just to attract the guests. You got to take care of the family, too.
You've got to take care of the family, too.
KINS News. I don't know where I get these things. KINS News Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're at Talking Shop this morning with Scott Adair from the Economic Development. Well, you're not a department yet,
Division.
Are you?
Division.
Yes, okay. I knew it was a D
a
somewhere.
A sub-department.
Okay, that means you're in the sub-basement.
There actually is a sub-basement.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Office,
yeah.
I'm not in
that
one. Yeah,
you don't get the magic handshake to get in there. As we're looking at some of these different projects, Scott, there's always those that are excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are always those that are telling people how to spend their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there are those who say, give me money.
Right.
And it's just endemic time after time after time, whether it was during the timber years in the lumbering industry or whether it's now with some of these more contemporary projects. How do you smack those people around and say, look, it's private money, or if it's public money, it's for the public good. Not for your good. The public's good.
Sure.
And the public isn't even defined as California or the North Coast or Humboldt County or you. It's more than that. Do you just get your head bloody when you try to do that stuff and get better to use the energy elsewhere?
I like to remind people that if... you or your community is receiving some sort of public benefit from a public program, it's likely due to some sort of legislation that was passed by an elected official who you did or did not vote for. If you voted, and there are those individuals who don't. But my point is, when I go back to that, is these benefits or impacts that we face on a regular basis because of legislation which is passed and with regards to economic development, whether that's programmatic or revenue-based, it's rooted somewhere in what we as a community are asking for, either directly or indirectly. Our elected officials are acting in a capacity and because of or due to pressures that they're getting from constituents. And I know that some constituents will say, my voice doesn't matter. I don't have an opinion. It doesn't sway any of the decisions that are being made. Working in the system, if you will, working for county government, sitting in meetings where our electeds are present, I can tell you, no, your opinion as a constituent actually does matter. And they are listening. And I have seen time and time again for economic development related issues that directly impact the prosperity or the livelihoods of Humboldt County residents. I have seen decisions being made on the dais during public meeting as a direct result of some public comment that is happening there and then. And so for those individuals, to circle back to your question, I might say, well, whether you're doing something or you're doing nothing, you are impacting the outcome, whether you think you are or not.
Yeah, it, Stan Dixon said something a long time ago. Before you got here, he's the first district supervisor. He was Rex before Jimmy. Okay. So if we get 15 calls about something, we think the world's on fire.
Right, right.
15. Right. I would suggest, though, that you do not use a form letter. That's so transparent.
Right.
And that, I would think, is a throwaway. Right. If you don't sign an email, that's a throwaway. Or sign the letter.
Sure.
You know, would you be influenced, person? Would you be influenced by an anonymous comment that came out of the blue? Probably not.
Probably not.
Okay, so spin it around.
Yeah. Right.
Hi, I'm da 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 da. Here's what I think because of this reason.
If 90-95% of the populace does not proactively or actively engage their local government,
you're worth 20 times.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then that's why when the supervisors receive 15 phone calls, they think something's on fire because this is abnormal or unusual that I'm getting this much correspondence about an issue. You know, we try to promote and teach the businesses whom we work with and the employees whom we work with that self-sustainability, self-reliance, resiliency is really, truly going to put you on the path toward preserving or building a livelihood. And we can capitalize on the investments that are being made by the federal government and the state government into our community. As we were saying earlier, if they're going to spend the money anyway, I want them to spend it here. But long term, we do need to figure out how to wean ourselves off of that in a way.
Yeah, you got to leverage it right. To put yourself in a better spot
leverage
for the future.
It to put ourselves in a better spot. But we want that prosperity to come from an internal place so that whether times are good or bad, we can rely on.
But when you've got, I guess I'll use Lars Larson's naysayers all over the place.
Right.
Not against you specifically, but against economic development.
Right.
Oh, well, we don't want to have blank here. And blank suddenly has 15 or 16 different things that can be inserted in there.
Right.
All different types of industries, like manufacturing or whatever. I mean, we're not talking about coal mines.
Sure.
Well, it wouldn't be a successful coal mine. We'll just leave it there. Oh, that's funny. I like that. But, you know, pretty soon we get a reputation. Then we don't get anybody looking at us.
Right.
Because all you do is get smacked down.
Right. Right.
And I know that's kind of the reputation that Humboldt County has had
right.
because of the last 40 or 50 years of all the preservationists running businesses out that wanted to come.
I can say this to the naysayers. Their perspective may work for the time being, for the interim, but we are rapidly approaching a place where, as a community, most of our workers are going to be aging out of the workforce. We're looking at what's happening with the boomer population, and these individuals are going to be retiring, but they're not going to want to leave. This is their home.
Right.
This is where they were raised or they grew up or their families are, so they want to stay here. So what is going to happen if we don't accept new opportunities that create new jobs and create prosperity for other individuals, but we have a sizable portion of our workforce retire and exit the labor pool? A lot of the naysayers who still like to go and get their coffee at the local coffee shop and go pick up their dry cleaning or, you know, whatever it may be, they're going to find, why are the lights off? Why is the clothes sign up? Why is nobody standing behind the cash register? Because we don't have a labor force anymore, because we didn't do what was necessary to preserve opportunity for those individuals. And so if we want that same level of or that same
community,
that community,
it's part of just having community,
right? Then we need to ensure that on the way out, as we're passing the torch to the workforce which is coming in behind us, that we're leaving them with opportunity and opportunity for growth and development and investment.
Yeah, it's intriguing. You know, and again, I think it, a lot of this stuff, to be oversimplified, gets down to economic ignorance.
Right.
You know, and focus on the mirror rather than on the window.
Right.
Well, okay, if it's all about you and you really don't know what you're talking about, but by golly, you're loud and noisy and you're going to drive the agenda.
It's
guess what? You get what you want, and that's where we are.
It's really easy to pick something apart or say why something doesn't work. It is really difficult to figure out how to make something work.
With the same set of circumstances.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Scott Adair.
We're back.
Survival of the economic fitness.
Survival of the economic fitness do you of think, our community.
Do you sense that we appreciate...
The diversification of our economic industries in Humboldt County.
Smooth. Do you think that we understand or respect some of the long-term businesses that have made it through? And adapted and adopted and changed and evolved through the last 40, 50, 100 years in the area?
No, not enough. I think we need to be doing more to understand and recognize our keystone or blue chip operators in the community, if you will. These businesses are who've been here for decades and who have weathered all sorts of economic storms, recessions, inflation, etc., over the years, often are not just creating jobs in the community and building widgets or providing whatever service it is, but they're donating to the local little softball league.
Yeah, you see their signs around the ballparks.
You see their signs around the ballparks. They're investing in the community. They are community corporate citizens. And we do get... and I know we talked earlier about some of the new projects, and so I'm glad that we can move the conversation in this direction. Sometimes we get fixated with the shiny new toy.
Because we see it as growth.
Because we see it as growth.
It's all net plus. Yeah, well, maybe not.
But if it creates an adverse negative impact, and now there's really no net gain, we've got the shiny new toy, but it comes at the cost of some adverse impact on another business or another industry. I mean, we really need to think about that. We really need to look at it. We need to sustain and grow the existing industries while we're looking to bring new industries into the community so that we can diversify.
Or different focus. Yeah.
Right.
Is there any national average about local ownership versus out-of-market ownership? One of the things that I think about periodically is, you know, buy local.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Buy local.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard, and we're at fault with this also, buy locally owned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Very different.
And then you've got like the franchise operator that's somewhere in between.
You know,
the McDonald's guy is a local guy.
Right. The McDonald's guy is a local guy,
but it's probably, he's not like Bob's Hamburger Joint.
And he's paying fees to McDonald's corporate.
Yes, yes. Right. So you got like maybe those three slots, if you will.
Right.
And I wonder, what do we have, the national average or rural average, whatever you want to call it, of locally owned businesses here? Because that's one thing that we've seen when you talk about donations and civic groups and things of that nature. Is the migration out of a lot of locally owned businesses.
Which has been really frustrating.
And we have managers who are, they're managers by title, but independent decision-making authority? Not there. It's either the district manager or the owner, you know, somebody who has like 500 franchise outlets.
Right.
That changes things as well.
It really does. You brought up a good point. If I go to KFC this afternoon, I'm supporting a local worker who is there and earning an income. They're local. But
you know that pizza chicken or chicken pizza?
The chicken pizza, or
that's intriguing to me. The kids, they go. I find it intriguing as all get out.
Or those the KFC bowls. I mean, you can't.
Oh, okay.
You can't beat those.
Yeah,
but there is a difference between supporting someone who may be a local worker who is working in an establishment which is geographically local. It is sited locally, and supporting an entrepreneur who built and developed something here. And let's you know, be very clear that those who are in a franchise position who have bought into something, they're still investing in their community, and they're still an important part of the prosperity of and creating livelihoods for those workers who work under them in the community.
But that's different than the manager.
But that's different
with ownership out of the area.
That's right. The manager with ownership who's, you know, out of the area. We have seen, and there are national standards, that most job growth in any given community, large or small, is coming from your five and less people sized operations.
Boutiques.
Your boutiques, your small startups. We call them in the industry, they're the gazelles, if you will. They're moving fast, they're moving quick, they're lean, they're mean. And
I have never been called a gazelle.
But they've got a purpose and a destination, and they're headed there. The Amazon H2Q headquarters, you know, those types of opportunities, those are far and in between. And really, you can waste a lot of time chasing after those.
Are we going to get that distribution center that's been rumored?
No.
You said it already. Thank you very much. Nice to see you, bud. See everyone tomorrow.